Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministry, and I am so excited today. We're here today for the End Time Men and Women of War study of the Word of God. We're going to call our Bible study to order now. I'm going to do our devotion. Shine on me. Shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me. Shine on me. Glory, shine on me. Coming from Isaiah chapter 56. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgments and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness is to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that have joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord have utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the Enoch say, behold, I am dry, I'm a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the Enoch that keepeth my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. All the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, even one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold on my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcast of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. I have just read you from Isaiah chapter 56, from the first verse down to the eighth verse. May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come this evening humbly before your throne of grace on today, asking you now, Lord, to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we come asking you now, if we've offended anyone in any kind of way, Lord, we ask your forgiveness right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you today, Lord, to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything, Lord, anything in there that should not be, Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to remove it. Right now, send the fire of God, Father, to burn it out, whatever it is, Lord. I ask you to purge us, Lord, anything, Lord, that's not like you, Hando Kaban, to remove it right now. We ask you today to create in us a clean heart and renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind, Father. We come on today, Father, asking you to bind up the strong man right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, bind him up right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, every evil will come, every demonic thing, every demon, every seed, ha, glory to God. Bind it up, anything that's trying to attack yourself or attack the radio broadcast, anybody that's under the sound of my voice, Lord, I'm asking you now to bind it up, Lord, and send it back to the pit where it comes from, in the name of Jesus. I ask you today, Father, to search our hearts, our minds right now, Lord. Cover them, Lord, in the shed blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you now to open our mind up. In the name of Jesus, open our mind, Father, in the name of Jesus, so we can understand your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, I thank you. Right now, I hear you say, creating us a clean heart. In the name of Jesus, creating us, Lord, a clean heart. Creating us a clean heart, Lord, and renewing us a right spirit. We thank you today. I ask you now, Lord, to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase, Father, and teach your people. I don't know nothing of myself, but whatever I know, Lord, is through you and by you, Father, the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. I'm just thanking you today, Father. I'm thanking you now. I'm thanking you, Lord, for letting your anointing fall, Lord. Let your anointing fall, Lord. Let it change the atmosphere in every place, out in radio land, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let it change the atmosphere right now, Lord. Yes, Lord, let your anointing, Lord, send your anointing where you please, Father. In the name of Jesus, I have no control over them. You are in control, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I just thank you all tonight. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for waking me up with my mind on the Lord. Thank you right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you right now. In the name of Jesus. Bless everyone, Lord, under the sound of my voice. Cover them and cover their families. Oh, yes, Lord, I give you praise for your word today. Thank you right now. You're so faithful, Father. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise today, and I give you glory. Hallelujah. I ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Ha! Glory to God and for your glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Father. I thank you right now, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. I'm asking you to change some atmosphere right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Just change it, Lord. Just like the wind is blowing from the north to the south, from the east to the west, change the atmosphere in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, let your anointing fall like dew falling on the bed. Oh, yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, touch right now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your sunshine, Father. Thank you for the rain. Hallelujah. Thank you today. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you today, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 There is a Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. I give you the high praise today. You deserve higher, Lord. Higher, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is Apostle Deborah Deans, and we're going to start in our study for today. We're going to be talking about prophets. We're going to be talking about prophets today. I think it was Friday we talked about prophets must be willing to stand alone if they have to. Prophets don't live by man's honor. Prophets look for honor from God. See, we're talking about prophets here. Prophets don't live off of the praise of men, but the honor of God. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to start today talking about how to handle hardship and opposition as a prophet. You see, demons hate prophets, and we all know that. Demons hate prophets. witches and warlords hate prophets. Jezebel hate prophets. Prophets are a threat to the works of darkness. Prophets expose the works of the enemy. Prophets are on the enemy's hit list. God protects his prophets, and God sustains us. Don't be afraid of the enemy. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Over in Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, says the Lord. See, when we're getting attacked, and I'm talking about prophets tonight, when we're being attacked, we have to know we're a threat to a demon. Because when I walk in the room, I'm looking for them to tremble. I'm looking for them to flee. He said, resist the devil, and he will flee. I'm looking for them to move out. I'm looking for them to tuck their tails and run, huh, and bow out. That's what I'm looking for them to do. I don't want to be in the same room where they are, and they don't want to be in the same room where I am, and God ain't going to move, so they got to go. Hallelujah. Demons hate us. Witches and warlocks hate us. Jezebel hated the prophets. All them prophets she had killed. All of them. Elijah thought he was the only one left until God told him, no, it's some more. I got prophets everywhere. But she had to kill so many of them. He thought he was the only one left, and he was running scared. Prophets are on the enemy's hit list. When I tell you, that's all they try to do is attack us. I be so attacked all the time, but I attack them back. See, we get tired of being on the hit list. We start hitting back. You see what I'm saying? We start hitting them back. Hallelujah. Start calling on the name and the blood of Jesus. Hitting them back. Hallelujah. We have to turn them tables. Put on our war clothes, hallelujah, our war paint, hallelujah, and go and fight back, hallelujah. But God protects us. He protects us. God sustains us. So we have no need to be afraid of the enemy. When a certain sister asked me to pray for her, and she was being attacked by a witch. Of course, I've always taught you all, when you praying for somebody personally, whatever fight they fighting, it fights you too. So I started thinking about it. But I knew I had to pray because that's what God called me to do. So I went to my husband, and I told my husband about it. He said, go ahead on, honey, and pray for her. I got you. I got your back. So when you got a covering, when you're praying and you covered, hallelujah, when you're covered, hon, not only by your husband, but by God, ain't nothing for you to do but pray. So we know that the weapon is going to form, but it will not prosper. When Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them. He hid them. 100 prophets. And he hid them in groups of 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. It's over there in 1 Kings chapter 18. God sustains the prophets. They don't have to depend on man And church, or you know how you depend on the church's religion, the religious system to survive. You don't have to do that. God's going to take care of you. Prophets depend on God. They must be free to speak whatever the Lord tell them to. True prophets don't eat at Jezebel's table. Says, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. That's in 1 chapter 17, verse 9. No, because if we're obedient, God will supply every need. It may not be like we think it should. It may not come like we think we want it to come. But God is Jehovah Jireh. He will supply and provide every one of our needs. Not too late, but right on time. That's God. Elijah was fed by the raven. God was his source and provider. That's what I'm saying. Supposing Elijah had been disobedient and not went down to the brook, he would have never got fed. So we have to show enough, do what God tells, be obedient what God say. When he sees somewhere, go. I said, no, not today. I ain't going there. No, you better go because you're going to miss your blessing if you don't. If God told you to go and do it, do it. Go on and do it. You're going to miss out what God has for you. Elijah was fed by the ravens and was provided for because he was obedient to the Lord. Obedient. If he had went somewhere else, over in Jerusalem somewhere, Israel somewhere else, he wouldn't have never got fed. He wouldn't have never got the blessing. But the widow woman blessed him. God is our source as prophets. He's our provider. Prophets depend on God for every substance that we need. Prophets need God to provide for us because they are often rejected by men. Prophets expect to receive miraculous provision from God, and we do, because I'll be doggone if I'm going to prophesy and say, I need you to send me $20, or I need you to send me $30, the devil is a liar. If you bless me with anything, it's on your own. I'm not charging for God's gift from nothing. When I tell you for nothing, I'm not doing it. Freely he give to me, freely I'm going to give what he gave me. With the love of God with it. Because I love God too much. And they're not my gifts. The gifts belong to God. God preserves his prophets. Don't be fooled. You cannot kill them all. He preserves his prophets. Yes, he does. That's like he did over there in Jezebel. He had Obadiah to go hide some prophets and feed them there. God hates when his prophets are mistreated. Prophets can be mistreated, persecuted, ignored, called crazy, rejected, overlooked, isolated, muzzled, and passed over. Prophets are often persecuted by the systems they cry out against. This is nothing new. God vindicates his prophets and defends them and deal with the system that mistreats them. That's why I say you can't, do my prophets no harm. I can't even think of the scripture, but touch not my anointed. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And do my prophets no harm. God means what he's saying. He says what he means. Just do it if you want to and see what happens. He means what he says, and he says what he means. He means not to mistreat, not to walk over, not to mess over his prophets. He don't play that. Man didn't make us prophets. God made us prophets. That's over in Psalms 105. Touch not my anointed ones and do no harm to my prophets. Now, Jeremiah was still coming in and going out among the people, for they had not yet put him into prison. Jeremiah 37:4. But Jeremiah, he was the weeping prophet. And God fought every battle for Jeremiah, look like he did every other prophet in the book. If you are a prophet, you will have to develop some toughness. Be prepared to put on the camel's hair and eat locusts and wild honey. This same John had clothing made of camel's hair, a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. You must be tough, strong enough to withstand adverse conditions or rough or careless handling, because everything is not going to be smooth. You're going to get some scrapes and bruises, I'm telling you. Sometimes some cuts. But, honey, go ahead on and shake it off, bandage yourself up and all that kind of stuff and let God heal us. But we got to be strong in the area where we need to be strong. Prophets have to learn how to shake off the dust. Prophets want everyone to receive the truth and be blessed, but sometimes it just doesn't happen that way. You can make people do what the Lord says. Sometimes you have to leave and shake the dust. I'm telling you, you can bring a horse to the draw, the drinking thing, but you can't make him drink it. The trough. Anytime we lead God's people and tell them what God expects, and you cannot make them do it, all you can do is tell them, preach to them, teach to them, and then they go steal and do the same thing. And then prophets, most of the time, bring warnings. They bring warnings. And every time you prophesy, you can't be sitting up there saying, well, you're going to get some money, you're going to get it. Now, listen, God tell you every time that's what's going to happen. That's not true. He give us more than that to say if we'll listen. If we'll listen, he give us more to say if we would just listen. It make me think so with somebody. Every time they prophesy to me, they saying, oh, you going to get a new car. You going to get a new house. You going to get a new dress, your new pair of shoes, money coming, all this. Nothing about nothing else. I don't know about that. If you are rejected, don't pick up demons of hurt and rejection. Don't let those demons in your life. Remember the word of the Lord to Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, for it is not you they have rejected, but me they have rejected from reigning over them. So it's not us they reject it, but it's God. When we tell them what the Lord has given us to tell them, and they reject the truth, they're rejecting God. Huh? Yes, they are. And we don't have anything to worry about. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. It's a blessing. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be very glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in this manner they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew chapter 5, 11 through 12. Rejoice, rejoice. That's what we should be doing, is rejoicing. Prophet, we need to be rejoicing because God got us. God got us. Then you have prophets, like I said on last Friday. We have weeping prophets like Jeremiah. You know, sometimes you have, when we praying for people, we in that weeping stage. We mourn and groan and all kind of stuff for people when we interceding. That means something to God. Prophets know what it is to weep. Prophets know what it is to grieve. Prophets also need to rejoice, though. Prophets must learn to rejoice even when things don't look good. We should learn a lesson from Prophet Habakkuk. Weeping may endure for a night. Ooh, hallelujah. But joy comes first thing in the morning, because mercy is new every day. Every morning we get some brand new mercy. We may have been old last night, but when you wake up in the morning, your mercy start being brand new. And you know, a lot of times prophets think they're in the wilderness. We be in the wilderness. I mean, we go through a whole lot. We go through a whole lot, but we have to. To whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. John was a prophet crying in the wilderness. He was in the desert. The desert represents isolation and separation. Prophets are always separated, or they don't run with a crowd of people. They're always by themselves most of the time. People came to the wilderness to hear John. Don't despair, prophets. Those who want to hear will hear. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around Jordan was out to him. Matthew 3, chapter 3, verse 3. We got to trust wholly into God. We got to, even when we get up and we're prophesying, we're praying for people, we got to trust God, because without him, the Holy Spirit speaking to us to what to say, we don't know what to say. We just meet these people. This is the first time we ever seeing them. You have to rely totally on God. You may not have ever been in a predicament like that, but I have about 2-3 weeks ago. And before then, though, before then, because it's like you don't know the people, so you don't know what they're going through. You don't have no idea, so you know it's God. When something come out your mouth, you know it's God, because you don't know the first thing to say to them. Not the first thing. But when we rely on God, God will step in. When the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, he will take over and take control. So I'm hoping everyone understands where I'm coming from right now. I mean, a lot of things, this is a lot to learn as far as how a prophet is and should be. So the general functions of a prophet. Prophets pour down that which God did not build. Prophets root up that which God did not plant. Prophets destroy what God wants destroyed. That's the function of a prophet, and it's so many other things to go along with that. God uses prophets to send out ministries. Prophets enjoy releasing and seeing ministries released. Prophets love to see people activated and released into their God-given destinies. They love to see the plans and purposes of God come to pass in the people's lives. We have ministries. And prophets need to be activated. Or need to see people get activated. The plans and purposes of God are the prophet's passion. Prophets don't look, they don't like being in ministries where no one is released. Prophets don't like seeing the wrong person released. You see, God shows us what to do. He shows us what to do. He relies on us to do those things. It is the ministry of the prophets to pray over and lay hands on those being separated unto special ministry. The prophets and teachers at Antioch heard the Spirit say, separate Paul and Barnabas. Why? They separated them, they laid hands on them, and sent them out. Prophets help us release ministry. And that's what we should do. If so many people have been sent out to and left this ministry, they got their ordination. Some of them were sent out and some of them just left. And it's okay because I did what God told me to do. Exactly what he told me to do, and they left, and some of them were sent out. You have to, even if all the teaching, when I was teaching the Demonology 101, they got all that in them, because like I was telling you before, the devil hates prophets. The enemy hates us. So we got to know the tactics and the ways of the enemy, because he hates us. So we got to know what to do. We know what to do to a certain extent, but we got to know what to expect, when to expect it, and how. The witches and warlocks hate us. The demonic hate us. And that's all right, because they hate God. They hate Jesus. You know, so Jesus is our provider. He takes care of us. Some prophets have more than one gift. Some prophets do more than just prophesy. Some prophets can pray and intercede. Some prophets can discern. Some weep and worship. Some prophets sing and declare and announce, pronounce, renounce, decree and declare, build and break, uproot and warn, correct and renew, revive and restore. Some prophets reform and counsel and help and assist. Some prophets strengthen, expose, they see, preach and teach. Some prophets train, release and equip. Some prophets impart and activate, and they stir up and break down and tear down and plant and water and sin and guard and protect. And some prophets watch and prepare and open and close and gather. Some sound the alarm, blow the trumpet. Some stand in the gap and bridge the gap and bring conviction and bring change and release judgment. Some enlightens and labor, plow and confirm and direct and uncover. Some prophets dreams and have visions and dance and edify, comfort and repair and heal. Some prophets deliver and loose and bind, evangelize and shepherd and establish and set, stop and charge and challenge. And some prophets perfect and ordain and encourage. Prophets do more than just prophesy. All of those things And I know I hit somebody with some of them, because that's what we do. Some prophets are like scribes. They write down their dreams, their visions. They write down their prophetic words and insights. They love writing, journaling, keeping a personal record of occurrences, experiences, and reflections, keeping on a regular basis in a diary. That's what we're supposed to do. Therefore, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes. And scribe or prophet is not limited to writing, but can release the word through audio, video, print, and other media. They have a desire to record what God is saying. That's a lot of times when you have a visitation or even in a dream. However, you can write it down. I keep a pad, a book, and pen by my bed because I want to wake up and write whatever it is down that I can remember. A lot of times you call me, especially in the evening time or when the Holy Spirit has control over my mind, I won't even remember how to talk to you. But I've been seeing what the Lord put on my heart to say to you, what the Holy Ghost says. But a lot of times I'll be out of it and I don't even know I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. But it's all right. I don't mind, because then you're going to be speaking to the Holy Spirit and not me. Because I'm telling you, just as sure as you get tired and don't have control over your mind, the Holy Ghost snatch it up. Some prophets are musicians. We need more than musicians. We need prophet musicians who release the sound of heaven on earth. Just like David. Then David and the officers of the army also set apart for their service some of the sons that as Aspha of Heman and the Jethrin, those who prophesied were lyres, harps, lyres, harps, and cymbals. The number of those who did the work according to their services, that's in 1 Chronicles 25:1. Heman was a musician and a seer. A seer is a prophet. We need more than musicians. We need prophets, seer, musicians. All these were the sons of Heman, the king seer, according to the word of God, to exalt him. For God gave 14 sons and 3 daughters to Heman. Hallelujah. We have singing prophets. It's a lot of us can sing. I can't, but it's a lot more can. John and Jesus ministered to Israel in different ways. Prophetic ministries is like a song. John came singing a song of mourning. Jesus came playing a wedding song. Israel did not respond to either. Prophets requires a response. Prophets release a sound in a song. What are the prophets singing and playing? So we also have some dancing prophets. You know, Miriam and David dance and express themselves. I'm telling you, David danced his clothes right off. He danced and he danced. And Miriam, she danced too. How does prophets operate with other ministry gifts? Sometimes prophets clash with pastors. Some pastors have a hard time dealing with prophets. Pastors need to be prophetic as well. Prophetic pastors will be able to embrace prophets in the prophetic. One of the worst things that can happen to a prophet is to be shut down by the pastor. Controlling pastors don't like prophets. This is because control or dominations are a form of witchcraft, and prophets can smell it out. They can smell it. But these pastors should beware. When a church or a denomination loses its prophets, they depart, get put out, or get shut down. It will begin to decline spiritually. Sometimes it is unnoticeably at first, but eventually the presence of God departs, and it becomes a monument instead of a movement. And I know that to be true because a lot of times the pastors don't want you getting up and saying nothing to their people. And I want you to do that. Some of them will, but some of them won't, and some of them have not embraced the prophetic yet. They haven't done that yet. But they need to. Because at this end time stage and date, God is calling for the prophetic intercessor. They don't have to do it. The prophetic intercessor. Prophets like being with apostles, and apostles like being with prophets. Glory to God. That's right. These two ministries are linked together in the New Testament. Prophet stirs apostles, and apostles stirs prophets. These ministries complement and strengthen each other. They both tend to be persecuted and misunderstood, and it seems as if they understand each other. And they do. Prophets should be apostolic, and apostles should be prophetic. Y'all better watch out up in here. Glory to God. Many apostolic leaders are married to prophetic spouses even today because you need that mixture. My husband and I both are apostolic, and he's a seer and I'm a prophet. But it's mixed up. It is mixed up. Apostles and prophets work together. They complement and balance each other. Apostles tend to deal with structure and order, while prophets are more spontaneous. Apostles can become too rigid and need prophets to help them stay flexible and spontaneous. Prophets can be too spontaneous and need the order and the instructions of the apostles. So they work hand in hand. And that's hand in hand. And they have similar functions, the apostle and the prophet. Many of the prophets in the Old Testament did what we would consider apostolic today. Many apostles today are doing what the Old Testament would consider prophetic. Jesus said he would send, which is the Greek word, apostles, prophets, and apostles. Luke chapter 11, verses 49. Prophets, therefore, are sent. Prophets are sent. Prophets should be apostolic. That is sent. That means the sent one, apostolic. They should be sent with power and authority to establish and build. Prophets and apostles work well together. The apostles break and establishes new ground, the biblical purpose, and order in the enemy's territory. and the prophets bring fire, passion, and a continual sense of urgency into the faith community of those entities established by apostles. The apostles need the prophets to keep the fire burning in what has been pioneered and established. And I know prophets and apostles work together well. I know that, but I'm prophetic, and then my apostle had ordained me as an apostle and she affirmed me as an apostle and ordained me as a bishop. And when she finished, she said, she did my husband and I both like that and gave us our papers on it. But I always say I'm an apostle because when you say you're a bishop has requirements out of the Bible, out of the Word of God. And so I don't even deal with it because I know who I am in God. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no power in a title but the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. There is no power in a title. I'm just telling, they just titles to me. But, honey, when the Holy Ghost, moves, that's where your power comes in your authority. You know, we need the prophets to keep the fire burning, but we can call that fire down too. But all of you all are prophets on this radio broadcast. I don't know about the ones that's in radio land. They can call in if so, and we can talk. But the ones on our radio broadcast, every one of them are prophets. And I thank and praise God for that. That's why I'm teaching on it now, because they need to know so many things. There's so many things that I know it's a lot you all didn't get, but you can always go to the radio broadcast and just re-listen to it. Listen to it over again, because you need to know the ways and the tactics of the enemy. And the first way is that he hates you because you're a prophet. Witch hates you because you're a prophet. The warlock hates you because you're a prophet. You were called by God. This just not started. It started back there when Jezebel was killing all the prophets. I mean, killed them all. Except for 100. Mm-mm. We have to know what we must do. We have to know it. We can't guess around it. We got to know it, because now we know we got this enemy and he hate us. So I hate him back. I always ask God to kill the devil. Always. Every time I feel something funny, I ask the Lord to kill the devil. Because he made everything, and he can kill what he wants. He can destroy what he wants. And I always ask him, kill the devil. Destroy him, Father, in the name of Jesus. Destroy him. Get him away from us. But, it's, you know, we have to know that we have to do prayer, deliverance praying for ourselves, because the enemy always trying to attack us. So we're always under attack all the time. So we have to pray, keep ourselves anointed, take spiritual baths. That ain't nothing but some water, a few drops of blessed oil, and maybe some rock salt. That's it. But we need to know what to do. Let that junk go right on down the drain. Because when you out in the public every day, spirits see your anointing, try to attach to you. You have to start before you come in your house. I loose everything that try to attach itself to me and come in my house before I walk across the threshold. You have to loose that stuff off of you. Bind it up and loose it from you. Mm-hmm. Because they will try to attach themselves, torment you, play with you, and whatever it is. When you're a prophet, you have to know about the invisible. You have to know about spirits and things you cannot see. See, this is all I'm saying. Don't think it's just some stuff. You have to know this is real, because if you don't, then they'll attack you and they'll feel like, well, she don't believe it or he don't believe it anyway. So we may as well get him or get her. Better ban them things up. So we're going to go over maybe one or two, and then we're going to get ready to close up. Prophets and evangelists. Together, prophets and evangelists make sure the fire never goes out. The fire of prayer, worship, and evangelism must never go out. This fire must burn from generation to generation. A perpetual fire shall be kept burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Leviticus chapter 3:13. We can't let that go out. The prophets and the evangelists, we can't let the fire go out. We got to keep prayer going. We got to keep that word going, evangelizing. The fire has to keep burning all the time. Prophets and teachers, these ministries work together to build the church. Prophets and teachers complement each other. Prophets need teachers to help with instruction. Teachers need prophets to help with inspiration. These two working together balances each other and strengthens each other. They also provide an atmosphere for the apostolic release. In the church that was at Antioch, this is scripture, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, which is nigger, Lucius and Cyrene, Manon, who has been brought up with Herod the terrorist, and Saul, Acts 13:1. That was just a scripture on that, about teachers and prophets. Prophets and other prophets. Prophets are not out of the control when they minister. Prophets are disciplined people who suspect order. Prophets hate disorder and confusion. Prophets know how to work with and minister with others, especially other prophets are the hardest on each other. Prophets know other prophets. Prophets can discern when something is wrong with another prophet. And that's true. All of that is very true. Believe me, it is. Let two or three prophets speak and let the other one judge. 1 Corinthians 14:29. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. 1 Corinthians 14:32. The spirit of the prophets are under the control of the prophets themselves, unlike in pagan religions where a spirit would seize control of a speaker, causing frenzy in all kind of other mess in 1 Corinthians 14:32 as well. Then you have prophetic women, and we're not going to discuss that tonight. We'll get that on Friday night, but we're going to talk about the prophetic women that was in the Bible and stuff on Friday night. Amen. I thank and praise God tonight for his word. I thank and praise God, and I hope everybody got some kind of understanding out of that. I'm trying to prepare to send out. I'm trying to prepare to send out, because that's what the word of God say. Even if you stay with this ministry, you still have to go out and prophesy. You got to go out and give that word God has given you to give. That's what you have to do. So I thank and praise God again on tonight for you, and you. Those that's in radio land, I give God praise for you being on with us on tonight. I thank and praise God for you tonight. I'm going to pray and dismiss. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice on tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, bless them and keep them covered in the shed blood of Jesus. Bless those that's in radio land. Bless their families. Bless their children. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to bless the entire men and women of War Global Ministry. Bless Apostle Edward Deans, our covering, in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking you right now, huh? Glory to God, to meet every need, Lord, in the name of Jesus. To meet every need, Father. Meet their needs, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. You said what two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. And I thank you, Father. I give you praise. I surely do. I give you honor and I give you glory. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, I say you be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. God bless you. You all have a good rest of the evening. I love you and God loves you too. If you need to call me, do so. I'm here. God bless you. Have a good evening. We are dismissed. Amen.